Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Fantastic indeed. Pastor Chiwanda, good afternoon to you, sir.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm quite well.
Lovely. Great to speak to you once again. I hope your day has been good.
It's been a big day, great day for me.
Oh, wow. I'm happy to hear that. Very happy to hear.
I was awake from around 11:30 at night.
Yeah, yeah.
And this morning I've been to a hospital in Zomba, another city outside the Plantae.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just settling now. I'm ready for the show.
Ah, okay. Great. Great to hear that. Well, thank you so much for making time, to join us this afternoon. Now, we are going to be talking about, our responsibility, and that what is our responsibility when it comes to our own, purity and choices. Like we touched on yesterday, some things are out of our own control, really. For example, what the people around us wear, entertainment, social media feeds, which could be triggering in some way. And today's talk is about personal responsibility. So talking about taking accountability, Pastor, how can we then take personal accountability for our influences, exposure, and consequently our own actions relating to sexual impurity?
A very important question. I've been thinking about it from the angle of personal accountability model. You know that there is such a thing as personal accountability model in the business world. So personal accountability model has got a number of steps. I think we can follow them spiritually.
Yeah.
Spiritually. They look at the situation as a difficult situation which an individual is facing, or a team of people, or a church, or a group of, or a family is facing a difficult situation. I was thinking that we can look at our hyper-sexualized culture and all that you are talking about, which is influencing us sexually, that we can look at that as our situation, which is very difficult for us and our children as well.
Mm.
I think you can agree with me on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so they say that we have an intention. An intention is, what do you want to achieve? What do we want to achieve? In this case, what is the expectation? The expectation of myself, what do I expect in life? What does my family expect from me? What about my children? What about my parents? Mm. What are they expecting from me? And in our case, we can even say, what is God expecting from me?
Mm.
That is intention. And then they are saying there is now a matter of choice. Since we are in this situation, since God is expecting this, I am expecting this, my family is expecting this, my parents are expecting this, my spouse is expecting this, what is my choice? What do I choose to do in order to meet those expectations? Expectations of myself, expectations of my team, expectations of my family, expectations of God, expectations of society. So, What am I going to do? I have to make choices. There are two choices. There are just two choices.
Mm.
One choice is personal accountability.
Mm-hmm.
To do something and be answerable to whatever issues from what I do. That is my actions. Consequences, results of my actions. I must be responsible. I must be answerable. Answerable to myself. Yes, I did this. And I'm experiencing this as a result of what I did.
Mm.
I will also be answerable to my God, answerable to my spouse, answerable to my parents, answerable to my organization, to my church. So there is that kind of thing where you you now have to take a choice of personal accountability to be answerable to yourself and others.
Mm.
And then in this case, to God also, because God will judge us. He judges us. He will judge us. The Bible says, don't be deceived. Whatever a person does has got its own results. The Bible says that in, I think, Galatians chapter 6, verse 7.
Yeah.
So whatever I do has its results. So I must be answerable to God for the results. Because what I do influences others. And what the society is doing is influencing me. So when I allow that exposure, when I allow those influences to come and influence me in the way they should influence me, either to purity or to impurity, I should be answerable to all that.
Mm.
So the next thing is to recognize what? Recognize your own faults, recognize your own weaknesses, recognize your own immoralities, recognize your own delinquencies, recognize your own sins, your own impurities, recognize the negatives in you. What have I done so far? How have I related sexually to others?
Mm.
How have I related sexually? What have I been doing with these men? What have I been doing with these women? What have I been doing with these children or with these daughters of others? What have I done?
Mm.
And meet yourself where you have been. Don't try to run away.
Yeah.
Don't try to say, oh, you know, I flirted with that one. I went around with that one because my wife went away. No. Don't push it to a wife.
Mm.
Tell yourself, you made a choice to sleep with a small girl when your wife was doing a seminar in a certain place. You slept with that girl. First, that thing, I slept with that girl, and that baby she has is my baby. Mm. First, that responsibility.
Yeah.
And be ready to be transparent to those who ask. Because people will come and say to your wife and say, do you know what? Your husband has a girl there, a baby there. Did he tell you? No, my husband cannot do that. Be ready to tell your wife that, my wife, I goofed on a certain day. Things didn't go well. I have a baby that side.
Mm.
Be able to disclose, be transparent, so that you are now taking responsibility. You are being personally accountable for what you have done. Don't hide anything. That's what they are saying in this model. And say you own your own issues. You own everything. You own your problems. You own your choices. You own your actions. You own the consequences. Everything, you own it. Who did this? It's me. Who spoiled this one? It's me. I spoiled this one.
Mm.
Who brought this STI here, this sexually transmitted infection into my home? I'm sorry. It's me who brought it. I did this idea. Be transparent and make sure that you own what you did, and then forgive. You have to forgive yourself for what you have done, forgive others for what they have done, and also be ready to ask for forgiveness for what you have done, because that's the responsibility. Now you're saying, really, I did this. I'm very sorry. Please pardon me. I shall never do it again. Ask for forgiveness, even to God also. Tell God, God, I have messed up. Please pardon me. And then from there, continue to examine yourself and say, what is it now that is remaining that I need to improve? Check for some remaining issues that would pull you back to impurity. And then from there, learn from your mistakes. Learn from your failures. Learn from your delinquencies. Learn from the sins that you have committed and how those sins have haunted you in the conscious, and also how those sins have devastated others and imperiled the lives of others, or the children of other people, because of what you did. You begin now to learn from that and say, I want to never repeat again this thing.
Mm.
Repent. And after repenting, you actually mend your life. You correct and say, henceforth, I shall never go back to these weaknesses. Make resolutions. You may not be perfect. But you can make a resolution and say, I want to be responsible. I will never do these things again. And then finally, take action.
Yeah.
Take action. Do something to change the whole thing, so that now you can say, I want to be pure before God.
Mm.
I want to be pure before my husband. I want to be pure before my wife. I want to be pure before my children. Do you know that there are certain fathers who have approached their only daughters to say, my daughter, don't tell your mother. I would wish to sleep with you. Go back to that daughter and say, my daughter, that was abuse. I didn't do right. I sinned before God. Cry before your daughter for what you did.
Yeah.
Cry before your daughter for asking her for sex. Cry before your daughter and say, please forgive me. I shall never do it again. And then take an action. Take an action to make sure that this thing is never repeated again. But also henceforth, you are going to close the doors to all these evils. That's how I was looking at it from a spiritual perspective.
Yeah.
I've got, of course, Bible texts to read, but I'll read them as you come with other questions.
I see. Now, is there an age perhaps where, you know, God must just understand, you know, that purity, the purity lifestyle is no longer conducive for one's relationship and desires? So if circumstances are such that one has not managed to find a suitable life partner, for instance, does God expect them to be a celibate for life?
My friend, that is a very deep question. I didn't have an answer for it, but when you have asked, an answer is coming. Do you remember that in a certain place, Jesus told people that bring these children to me. Don't push them away because the kingdom of God belongs to them. Do you remember those words?
Yes, yes, yes.
Jesus was trying to say, I am earmarking these young ones for purity. I am earmarking these small ones for holiness. So if Jesus is inviting small ones to holiness and purity, to salvation, how dare me prescribe a limitation in terms of age and say maybe this age or that age? Second Timothy chapter 2 verse 22, on that text it says, flee youthful lusts. Who is it talking to? It is talking to the youth, isn't it? Flee youthful lusts. So it's the youth also must be pure themselves, like Daniel was pure in Babylon, like Joseph was pure in Egypt, like Jesus grew up sinless from birth through youthfulness, through adulthood. He was pure. So he is our example. There is no age exempted from purity. No age exempted. We are all to be pure for life.
You.
How do you take that? And you know, I have a text here which I don't know whether you allow me to read it. I had several, but I think you will just allow me to read all of them to answer this question.
Okay, all right.
Matthew 5 verse 8. I'll read it in three versions. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. New American Standard Version, Standard Bible. God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they shall see God. New Living Translation. Blessed are those whose hearts are pure, they will see God. New International Reader's Version. Then I have Hebrews 12, verse 14. Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see God. That is the, I think that is the new, I think that is the New American Standard Version. And then New Living Translation, work at living in peace with everyone and work at living a holy life, for those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Will not see the Lord. That is the New Living Translation. And then try your best to live in peace with everyone. Try hard to be holy. Without holiness, no one will see the Lord. New International Reader's Version. And then there is this text, which has no age limit. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, it says, be faithful, even if it means you must die. Then I will give you life as your crown of victory. New International Reader's Version. But if you remain faithful, even when facing death, I will give you the crown of life. New Living Translation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. New American Standard Version. So you can see that no age limit there.
Yeah, but very, very powerful. Now, I wonder, Pastor, because some may say, you know, I met, for instance, this lady a couple of years back and asking this very question to say, you know what, I've been keeping myself a virgin all my life and I've not engaged in any immoral or sexual activities because I've been praying to God to, you know, bring along a husband, but years are going and no one is showing up. And at that time, I think she must have been around about towards 40 years of age. And she was saying, "Now time is running out.
Need a baby."
And she wanted to have a baby.
And, I need a baby.
Yes, she wanted to have a baby, and she was saying, "Listen, surely God understands. I've been pure all my life." And I said, "Listen, you have to stay pure. It does not matter. Just forget about the baby." But should that be the case, though?
Yeah, I think we must accept this. If you cannot find a spouse to have the natural way with, the best thing you can do is to link yourself with Jesus. Link yourself with Jesus. Be a spouse of Jesus. Because you know what? It's either you must die or sin. So you don't want to sin. You can just die. Just die. Rather than sin, you must die. So you understand what I mean?
Yeah.
If it means that I should sin in order to achieve, I better die and not achieve.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the way we should go. If I'm not married, I must stay chaste. I must stay holy. I must stay pure. Forget about the marriage issue. And you can pray. You can pray out. You can pray the libidos. You know that we have libido in our bodies, which pushes us to want to have sex. You can pray that thing off and say, "Lord, kill my libido. You are not giving me a spouse. Destroy my libido." Destroy it. Get it out of me. I know my sister, my own sister. She's with me in the house here. She was divorced, I think, in 1984. If not earlier, maybe 1980s or 70-something or 80s. She was divorced. And then you know what she did? She knelt down and talked to God. And she said, "God, all these libidos that I should be looking for my husband, remove them." And she tells me the Lord kept himself faithful to her. Now she's turning 8 next year. She has never had sex with anybody since the husband left. So we must make resolutions that glorify God. You know, our intention, our aim is to glorify God.
Yes.
To glorify God so that God can be happy and say, "Hey, this one, she is my gold. She is my special gem. She is my precious stone." And the name God should immortalize our name in the book of life, because we have suffered, we have sacrificed in order to be holy.
Yeah.
We have even been willing to die unmarried just because we want to be holy. That is the honor that you want to take with you to the courts of to the holy courts above.
Beautiful stuff. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. And it's been a pleasure, as always, to talk to you. And we must make sure that we connect once more tomorrow in the afternoon as we conclude this conversation. But for today, I truly, truly want to appreciate the time that you always set aside to speak to us here at AWR. Thank you so much.
God bless you. I'm happy for you having me.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.